This is Glenn Kimmel at www.ancientmanuscripts.com, the home of the Ancient Course of Study. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Okay, man.
Harry, well, go ahead.
And again, live from the Haunted Warren Winery. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
We this have, has been an interesting show so far. Oh, there's Ron. There's Ron.
That's cool.
I tell you, there's some people out there. There's some people that we've had the pleasure of meeting in our travels, especially this summer, to all the places we've gone to, that when they walk into a room, they just seem to light the place up. I mean, literally, everybody just comes to life, and that's when the party starts.
And so Ron is one of them.
Ron is one of those. He's a definite candidate for the person to do this stuff. Ron, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Scott, what's going on, guys?
Not much, man. That's screaming. That's all right, though. That's cool.
Yeah, we're just getting back from trips.
Yeah,
I was in Indianapolis. Scott L. was touring the Bell Witch Cave down in Tennessee.
Yeah, I was down there.
So we're just getting back.
Yeah, how was that? It was good, right?
Oh, it was really cool. We talked about it for a little while here before we went to break, before we had you come on. We're going to talk some more about that later on. But, yeah, it was a really great experience. Have you been down there before, Ron?
No. Not my travels yet, but probably when I go your route next month, maybe I'll take a side trip.
Well, yeah, you know, that's actually not too far from Louisville, as a matter of fact,
how far do you think?
From Louisville, I'd say it's maybe, I could be wrong, but I'm looking at an hour, maybe, from Louisville to Adams, Tennessee.
That's
so
not bad.
That isn't that.
Oh, that's great, man. Just pack up with the bourbon, and then you're there in an hour.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a really cool trip. We really enjoy that. You said you're working on some new stuff, though. I know we're like, oh, well, Ron's coming out. What are we going to talk about? You said you've got some new gadgets you've been working on, though, right?
Oh, yeah. One main thing that's been working that's really, really good is something called the black body. It's a black body type of object, I mean, device, but it's called the paranormal heat detector. And I've been tuning it out, and it works really good. And it's called a PhD, no pun intended, but paranormal heat detector. What it does, it's based on the black body principle, which is really an object that absorbs all that electromagnetic radiation that falls onto it. Mm-hmm. So what happens, no radiation passes through it, and none is reflected, but theoretically it radiates every possible wavelength of energy.
Okay.
So in other words, if you're investigating some place down the hall, if you're investigating something down like a cell block or something, and it's supposedly totally empty, just you and the investigation team, and this thing, as you aim it, and it starts to give you an alert tone, any black body, in other words, any kind of surface temperature radiation above 100 degrees, this thing will start to emit a tone and a beep and a light, and that means it's a hot energy, we call it, or maybe towards inhuman. So if the place is cold and is totally isolated, it shouldn't go off. But if it goes off, that means there's something in that background or in that area that's giving off some kind of, temperature radiant, we call it.
Okay.
And we call it black body.
Okay.
Like I said before. So it just, it really, you know, stuff passes through it, nothing's reflected, but it will radiate every possible wavelength if there's some kind of substance of energy in that spot.
That's really interesting and you're building these things from the ground up. Like we've talked to you before. I mean, you're building these things from the ground up, like I said. I mean,
from the ground up, from scratch, in other words, right, from, you know, PVC construction for housing the electronics, well, the smart, and another type of PVC kind of tube as your pistol grip, you could say, because it looks like a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, and plus tons of super glue in there to hold all the electronics together.
Well, so
that's the challenging part, you know? I mean, if you got the thing working, all of a sudden now you're running down the hall, you know, like just running, running. All of a sudden you hear rattle, 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 now your device is not working. So besides just getting the technology to work, you got to think of the mechanical constraints and, you know, the robustness, in other words, reliability. You don't have the batteries fall out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a challenge, man. I mean, people don't realize this besides coming up with a concept. But the packaging is crazy. It's just totally crazy.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things when you're building something like this, and it's what I always find fascinating about building systems of this sort, is that you have to take into account, and this goes for if you're building a website, then we know that. As far as like web stuff or any type of system, any type of group thing that you're trying to convey information or gather information in your case, Ron, I mean, you have to take this thing from the ground up and go, okay, I have to take into account every single possibility here of every situation that these people may be in, like Jason and Grant, for example, who they may be in. So this thing's going to work at all times, where this thing is not going to fail on them in the moment of truth, right?
Yeah, like let's say for example, you have to like go upside down or something because you're hanging from a ledge or something, just to like poke this thing through some vacant hallway. But the only way to peek through it is someone's got to hold you upside down. God forbid Brian holding Steve, and there you can let him go. There's stuff like that. There's so many things. So you hit the nail on the head. Web page and stuff. That's what I call its vaporware framework. In other words, you rely on someone else's kind of framework, but when they call real dimensional stuff, stuff you're actually putting together.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a box together and you're putting stuff in it. There's no one in the world is going to help you on the outside because it's just you and your mind and your imagination and, you're kind of, what good techniques that you have to do it. Otherwise, if you call every expert in the world, it's going to cost you, millions of dollars to put some, $100 gadget together because the guy says, well, let me put it through a vibration test and a wind tunnel test. And, I'll never get out the door, So, when I separate the two worlds, the computer world, which, I mean, kids at 6 years old now are setting up websites and very fluid on it, but when you're trying to put stuff together with pieces, like a real puzzle, and put it together. To my extent, it's always challenging, and I'm like, oh man, I didn't think of that. So constantly, I have to go back, retest it, or give it out to a group of people, try it out, and I'll come back. Oh shit, man, this thing, it beeps, but you can't shut it off. And I go, oh, can't shut it off. I forgot to put, maybe I should put a switch in there. It's all these things, that it takes, I call it a product life cycle, quite a while. I mean, like, for example, you buy a brand new car today, you still might find some problem with it. Like, what the hell they put, to make a long story short, we got a new car, and then with the arm, the armrest, the thing slides. It just slides. I go, why is it sliding? When I put my arm as a rest, it should lock. And I'm saying, man, that's a bad design. I can't believe this. I mean, Ford's been around since 1900, and all of a sudden the armrest is it's sliding as I'm trying to hold the wheel on, and then the right hand is sliding. And I'm like, didn't this engineer idiot figure this thing not to make this piece slide?
All they needed to do is drive it once and say, all they needed to do really was drive it once and say, oh, wait a minute, this ain't working.
Well, yeah,
you got to take it on a test track, right? We call it. I mean, you got to take it out there and test it. I take some of my gadgets out there. The most important thing, I have a lot of electrical solder points, that's called, where you bond two pieces of copper and you solder it. It's almost like a weld, like a spot weld.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's something called a cold solder joint, which means they're kind of making contact, but with the slightest vibration, they'll actually break apart and the electrical, that circuit will kind of open. All of a sudden, you got no functionality of the system at all. And you're going, the heck's going on? It was working 20 minutes ago, but vibration caused the two wires kind of break loose.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just part of that frustration cycle. And let me tell you, there's a lot of frustration. There's stuff that goes through hit the wall and went to 100 pieces because I was frustrated. And so I'm just come back a week later and try it again.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it happens with everything.
Ron, where do you get your inspiration for the gizmos?
Well, here's the secret. You got to kind of have like a real open mind, but you kind of like sit back and you look at every single technology that's out there. You look at, you know, security systems. You look at defense systems. You look at, you know, what IBM's playing with, you know, with their latest stuff in some of their think tanks. But some of that's technology. It's like, you know, you need like a $100 million, you know, instrument like to use it. But you just kind of like look at all the different fields out there and you say, well, a little piece from field A, a little piece from field B, a little piece from field C. And you say, if I put them all together, maybe this whole system could work as a total system. So that's the whole thing. So everything's got like a vertical niche. So you take each piece and you go, oh, if I take an infrared from this guy and I take, you know, an amplifier from this guy and I kind of take, you know, and I combine them together, what can I come out with? You know, so that's where the inspiration comes from. It's just, you know, constantly just looking what's, you know, what different technology in different areas are, what they're working on.
That's interesting. I think, like, probably about 25 years from now, we're going to have, like, with folks like you out there, we're going to end up having one of them tricorder things from Star Trek. They'll just be like, oh, let me see if there's any entities around. Oh, yes, there's
oh,
four.
Oh, it's my great-grandmother again. Oh, shit. Right.
What's she want now?
No, exactly. Yeah. That's the fascination, though. So it was, you know, it's more... More of the I call it the whole electromagnetic spectrum. Eventually, if it gets down to our hands to be more practical, then we could have a lot more fun. So, in other words, most people don't walk around with, you know, like X-ray systems in their trunk of their car because
right.
it's too expensive.
Right.
But I mean, you know, if you come out with a box, you know, size of a suitcase, and you go, it's an X-ray detector, and you start doing paranormal investigation with something like that, and like, you know, could you just imagine like the audience out there for like $500, you got a whole complete X-ray system. So you could bombard the hallway with X-rays and come back and go, shit, there's an entity. Look, there's a skeleton outline. I mean, I'm being facetious, but also I'm being kind of practical that stuff like this, eventually, if it does get, you know, if the cost breakdown does get, you know, more and more effective, you could take these far-end technologies that's really astronomical prices. I mean, that's in, you know, medical field, for example. And then use it. Imagine taking an MRI system and then using it as a paranormal application.
Wow.
Just think about
yeah.
it. But, I mean, it's a $1 million system that sits in somebody's, you know, big office building with a big sign that says open MRI. You might say, excuse me, can I borrow your open MRI to go on a ghost hunt? But, you got to think like so crazy and abstract or I call it eccentric scientific thinking, but. Maybe then maybe in our lifetime, but you know, as you pass this stuff along to other newer generations, and maybe eventually some of that really high end stuff could be more applied to, you know, everyone's like practical toolkit that they could take with them and really explore what's going on in this you know unknown I call it you know universe here that we're all cycling through, you know. It's just
well,
like,
yeah, you know, and the thing is that we've seen, and it's obvious, like in the last 100 years, Ron, we have advanced as far as technology is concerned. We have done it exponentially, more than anything, any events in the past, in the last 100 years, we have evolved as far as technology goes in leaps and bounds. And the same thing, I think, you know, could apply to what we're doing here in this field of paranormal studies, too. And it takes people like you, I think, where you guys are kind of thinking, and I hate this term, but it does apply, where you're thinking outside of the box. You're going, okay, I'm being open-minded here.
Sounds like a marketing term, but it is.
It's true.
That's right. You got to think out of the box. I mean, otherwise, or you get the same handful of tools all the time. It's like, you know, you kind of if you're locked in the box without thinking outside the box, then you get the same, you know, substance. You know, it's the same tools all the time. Like, you know, you get your hammer, your screwdriver, and wrench set. Like,
well, yeah.
Is there any other tools out there to do the job easier? You know, to get to this piece.
Well,
so that's
Well, when you're thinking about tools, yeah, when you're thinking about tools, though, also, Ron, I mean, when you say the word tool, okay, what I'm thinking here, and this is, I think, the approach that this is coming from, too, when you're thinking tools, all right, we're thinking about things that are going to record information, hard scientific data here, too. This is, and this is obviously the approach. I mean, let's be honest, Ron. I mean, we've met a few times, and you don't strike me as to be any type of, like a psychic or anything like that. Am I correct?
Oh, man, I could forget about psychic. Crystal ball or something?
Yeah, I mean.
Clueless, man. I don't have that. Unless if I get hit by lightning, maybe I'll get that extra gift like some of these other people do. But I don't have that. I don't have that. So that's why I have to, like, rely on, you know, I call it the third-hand tools here to help me out because I have none of that intuition like some people do.
And we're looking at things that are going to, you know, hopefully, you know, someday, because we talk to a lot of people, Ron. And just what I'm thinking about right now is we talk to a lot of people and they're like, okay, look, if you want to go out ghost hunting and you want to record voices or you want to get something on film, you have to be spiritually in tune. You have to calm down. You have to meditate. And I mean, I think it's a great approach. I'm not knocking that in any way. But I know for a fact myself, okay, I'm talking about myself and only myself right now. My mind races in 1,000 different directions at all times, right? I can, and I have tried every single thing out there to try to level myself out before I go on an investigation. I have not been successful yet. And what I'm seeing here, what you're working on, obviously, are tools that, I mean, they're going to record what's there. They're not going to be.
That's right.
They're not going to be meditating. They're not going to be mellowed out. They're not going to be like, cool, man. They're going to be recording the data as it is right there. And hopefully, I mean, in time, these will be able to be repeated over and over again, which applies right to the scientific method. That's where I think the approach that comes through that, I mean, it's a hard scientific method. And that's what I really like a lot, too, because that's what's going to, well, as soon as, and you know, Ron, any voice that's been recorded, any pictures been taken, skeptics will rip it apart regardless of what evidence you have to back it up. If you have hard scientific tools, I mean, and I use the word tools. I mean, that's a term here. If you
that's
have
right.
tools to use that can record data like this, that's what we're going to need as far as this field goes to possibly prove that there are, I mean, prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are weird things. I don't want to give them any, like, ghosts. Or, I mean, there are things going on outside of our common thinking, let's say. That's where, I mean, I really like these things that you're doing is because you're working on tools. They're coming from a person who is very scientific-minded like yourself. And that's what I really like to see that. I love the work you're doing.
Oh, great, man. Thanks. But you're absolutely right. Maybe the more tools that collect data at the same time, mm-hmm. it's more substantial as saying, look, we got something here because we got tool A, B, C, D, and E all picked up something at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at different frequencies or different applications, but at the same time constant, in other words, 6 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
it all interact with something out there. So it's much more evident to say to, Mr., you know, to these skeptics out there, say, hey, not one, not two, but we got a collection of stuff that says at 6 o'clock we got, you know, some kind of event that happened. So, you know, there's something of some substance here.
Well, there we go. We're able to repeat this.
Right, and you can repeat it constantly with that tool set, and then you'll say, well, okay, so you know, it could be reproduced over and over and get the same amount of data sets. Of course, these different tools at the same time. So now we got something of substance here. Now we're really connecting through the time tunnel.
Well, here's what I see. Okay. I watched, for some reason, I don't know, but I watched this thing on one of those many, many cable channels, and it was about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out with, like, you know, like a single cell, like in an amoeba or something. I don't know. It started out with, like,
oh, right.
You know, yep. Started out with that, and it goes, okay, well, and that was fine, you know, enough of them lived and stuff. But then they developed into, I don't know, they didn't go directly to Chihuahua, right? They went into, like, these little fish. And none of these fish at the time had eyes and or very many senses, right? So what they were doing is they were all bumping into things, right? And then they developed into, you know, bigger fish. And then they also developed, some of the smaller ones even developed into fish with, like, a little feeler dangling from its, nose or whatever. And so it could sense things that other ones couldn't, you know. And then the predator fish, you know, developed something. And then the fish that weren't predators developed a defense against that. And eventually, suddenly, eyes came about, right? And so suddenly they have this visual input. And then I think the earlier senses were more akin to smell and touch than they were visual, right?
Right, exactly.
And hearing came into being. And so the senses developed over literally millions and millions of years, right, in these early, you know, in these early critters. Well, what happens is just because every fish or aquatic, you know, critter on the planet, and we're talking, you know, millions and millions and maybe even billions of years ago, here on Earth, every fish or every critter could not see. It's a fact. I mean, according to this evolution theory, it's a fact that there was a time on this planet that nothing had any visual input. Did that mean that there wasn't any visual input to be had? Well, no. I mean,
no, because they had the other senses.
Right. They just did not. They couldn't see it. You know, they had no eyes. They could not see these things. It just was not part of their world. They would just wander around without this visual input and live their lives. And it doesn't mean that the ability to see
wasn't there.
I mean, it just wasn't developed yet at the moment. And the same. I'm beginning to think that it's the same thing with these realms that we have a hint of. We have a hint of a ghostly world. In coincidence with our own. We have a hint of an interplanetary world in coincidence with our own, you know, that people are visiting us and people are visiting us from other, you know, from beyond the grave. People are visiting us from beyond the grave, people are visiting us from other planets, people are visiting, you know, that we don't exist, and right now, what if we're wandering around just like those aquatic critters were wandering around without the ability to see this stuff. What if we're wandering around with just like this guesstimate
exactly
that these things must be there?
I mean, we're handicapped. I mean, we just got the senses in our eyes. We only see the visible spectrum. And most people use, 8% of their brain? Well, a lot of people I know, it's negative 8%. Not on this show.
Thank you.
Well, you guys are great, but I'm talking negative 8%, beyond that. But no, to get back to it is like, you know, you have very limited percentage of the total power of the, neural, say, plasmasphere that we have in our senses. I mean, we still got, you know, thousands, you know, going the other direction, the future direction, thousands and thousands of more years before maybe we'll eventually start to develop more and more of our inner abilities that, you know, that we could, you know, that we could experience. Exactly. And, just presently where we are, this state of time, is, you know, we're limited to what we could, you know, what we could observe. And the whole thing is what people see, and this is visibly, is what they believe. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what you see is what you believe. So if someone says, look, over there is, you know, is Aunt Elsie, and you look over there, you see the corner of a wall, you know, with a bottle of wine, you go, no, there's no Aunt Elsie there. That's a bottle of wine, asshole. But the person says, no, there is Aunt Elsie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you visibly don't see an object described as Aunt Elsie means that it doesn't exist. That's because what people visibly comprehend is what they believe.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing that where all these other tools are going to come in is trying to expand that. They'll expand your senses. But you can't be naive enough to say just because what I could see is what I comprehend and believe. Mm. You've got to be an idiot. But there's a lot of people that have that belief. Like, you know, you can't see X-ray. You can't see, neutrinos. You can't see alpha particles and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't see radioactivities.
All you can see are representations of it in charts and graphs and things like that.
Using a supportive instrument. But this, if you had none of that around, you know, if you're just by yourself out in the woods, I mean, you don't have any instrumentation. You know, it's like, well, what do you feel? Well, You're just going to go on your, you know, just your native senses. Like,
yeah.
I think it's going to rain, you know, because my back hurts.
And when my back hurts,
go back, and you guys were going through about the, you know, million years ago, I was saying this would have classic blind date now, you know, terminology.
I wonder if that's how accidents
happen. Yeah, come up with a blind date detector, you know. You walk into the bar before you even have a clue, and the thing goes off, and it goes, oh, Meg. Dude, run! She's a dog! Or I could work on the woman's, I'm going to give the woman a compliment. Oh, he looks like an orangutan.
Well, you know, Ron, keep up the great work. We always love to hear all the new things you're working on and stuff like that. We're going to be seeing you again. We're going to be hanging out down in Louisville, Kentucky, like we were talking about a little while ago.
I'm going to show you guys the new EMF storage detector system that stores EMF activity in real time.
Wow.
So
looking forward to that.
Around, it, now it stays in a computer smart type of system, and then you could go back later and plot it and really have the data. So this will be a world-renowned kind of release when we showcase this next
super
month
cool.
out there.
And also, too, on top of that, we're going to be seeing you again back here on the show in about 9 days, I think. We're going to be talking, we're going to have you, it's going to be a special show, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, you're going to be coming on with, and get this guys, get this listeners or whoever's out there, John Hutchison's going to be on here with Ron Milione to talk about their your guys' recreation of the Philadelphia experiment, am I correct?
That's correct, and we got some pre-test preliminary results that's pretty, let's put it this way, very, very, very positive results of stuff that happened back in 1943.
Well, wow. we're gonna have both you guys on here, and it's going to be the 29th, am I right?
Yes.
The 29th of August, and we're going to basically come on at 7 p.m., and I guess I put a question mark on there of how long we're going to go, because I don't know how long we're going to go around. We'll just go as long as we have to, I think, until we get it done.
Yeah. I just told John, don't turn anything on while we're talking, because we don't want to start levitating the radio station everyone else around.
Well, we're talking about John Hutch in here, and if I mean, I don't even want to go into that because I'll freak out and pass out here because I'm so blown away by John Hutchison already. Ron, we need to thank you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to have
great,
you.
It was great, guys, man. Very good. And Bonnie, I'm ready for my massage again.
Oh, okay. I'll be ready for you.
She's practicing.
I'm going to say hello, Manny, again. Okay.
Yeah, tell Manny I said hey.
I will.
Ron, hang on.
Yeah,
on one.
Great, thanks again.
Yeah, hang on the line for 1 second, Ron. We're going to go to break here. Just give us 1 second, all right?
You got it, bud. Okay, guys.
Again, we need to thank Ron Milione for coming on the show. It's totally awesome to talk to him. This is Ghost of the Duck. We got a free half an hour after this. We're going to be talking
talk about Ron. What do you think?
We're going to talk about Ron.
I like that.
That'll be great.
So I got something I want to show you guys, actually, in this next half an hour
all right.
coming up.
Sounds good.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Rick Hayes, Paranormal Communication Consultant of Life's Gift. Feel free to contact me at lifesgift.com for more info about your life after, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Yes, Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana?
Was good.
It's the reason why people don't stop. It's the reason why LeBron always fights for the rock. Yeah. It's the reason brokers go for the stock. It's the reason why investors always racing the clock. Tick tock. It's the reason why and why doesn't sleep. It's the reason gangsters tote nines and pack they heat.
Uh-huh.
It's the reason thugs thug in the street. It's the reason mob men stay packed up and sleep. Yeah. It's the reason why I don't waste time. It's the reason I put all heart into my rhymes.
Woo.
It's the reason criminals get knocked. It's the reason boys hustle and stay on the block.
Man,
it's the reason why pockets gain weight. And bigger reasons why I decide to rep this state. A busy Montana, let's keep it in place. It's the reason culinary cooks fight for the taste. Yeah, it's the place where people dream to sit. And won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race to the top of the world with confidence in lines of truth. Yeah,
we gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I follow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this ride.
It's the reason big banks get knocked. It's the reason why snitches always talk to the cops. Damn. It's the reason running backs make cuts. It's the reason why offensive boys the punts. Yeah. It's the reason Roy Jones wrecks zones. It's the reason archaeologists brush old bones. Man. It's the reason pilots earn their wings. It's the reason why young men become Marines.
Hoorah.
It's the reason Prez Bush wants war. And the same reason why parents won't take it no more. It's the reason pimps stay with a Mac. It's the reason place bets stay thick at the track.
Oh my God.
It's the reason smokers stay with a blunt. And the reason fake artists don't hesitate to affront.
Nah.
It's the reason why I stay clean, honest, focused, and mature about pursuing my dreams. Yeah. It's the place where people dream to sit and won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race to the top of the world with confidence in lines of truth. Yeah.
We gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I follow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this ride.
So do your thing, stay driven, keep holding it down. I want Billings to know I respect this town, respect this scene. Man, just respect all around. So do unto me and others, respect my ground. It's the reason I make sure my daughter's safe and sound. And why big names love to rock sold out crowds. Hold up, it's why I love this music. Hip hop is way more than a thug's influence.
Now for a break.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the place where people dream to sit and won't stop and don't stop till there's a chair on it. Flares I spit, cause I'm in the same race to the top of the world with confidence in lines of truth. Yeah,
we gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no. I follow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this ride.
We gonna make it to the top. We won't stop, no, no, no. I follow so much pride. I deserve to enjoy this ride.
Macbeth is an unholy riddle we still hesitate to name for fear of retribution. Macbeth is to the theater world what King Tut's tomb is to archaeologists. The superstition follows that any company performing the play will be beset with horrible luck, ranging anywhere from uncanny accidents on the set to actual deaths within the company. 13 Omens Podcast is available at myspace.com/13_omens. Look for the link in the About Me section.
Normally, that's a wonderful thing, right? I mean, I'm sure you can agree with me, Doug, a set of wonderful hips next to you gyrating. It's always a great thing. But, you know, from Tom, I mean, no offense, Tom, I love you. You're my bro. It kind of disturbed me.
It just sort of freaked us out.
He wasn't dancing for you, Andy.
No, he wasn't.
It kind of, oh, well, who was he? What
he
was that?
He was dancing for me.
What did I miss here? I just want to know what's going on. Oh, there was some money.
Yeah.
That's a 20, too. Now, you know what?
Oh,
for that kind of money, I'm willing to work with you. For that kind of money, I'm willing to play ball. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We were talking with, we just talked to Dr. Ron Milione, who is an absolute ball. We always love to talk to Ron. He is the guy.
Gets me. I'm so excited because I am so excited now about not only, you know, the show with John Hutchinson and Ron Milione, but also Mid-South Paranormal Convention.
That's coming up. That's coming up so quick, too. One of my stops, I forgot to mention this, too, on our trip this week, my week-long trek through the South or whatever you want. Well, south of Michigan, at least, was I made a stop. Me and Keith Age actually talked from Louisville Ghost
Hunters. Cool.
And the day before I took off, me and Amber took off on our trip, and he's like, "Are you going through Louisville?" I'm like, "Well, actually, the way I'm mapping this thing out, the quickest way I'll be able to get down to where I want to get is if I go through Louisville. But I'm going to go around Louisville." That's what I was going to. He's like, "Well, dude, take this road and go through, and we'll meet up at the hotel where we're having the Mid-South Paranormal Conference at. I can show you around. Have you meet the people that run the place? Have you meet everybody? We can hang out and then go get some lunch."
Oh, man.
So I have to thank, first of all, I have to thank Keith for lunch, because Keith picked up lunch for us. And that was very nice.
Awesome.
So thank you, Keith. That was very cool for you to do that. We had a nice talk. We talked about the conference and things we're going to be working on the conference. And I have to tell you, I'm just totally excited. The place we're going to be at down there is going to be so awesome. And I'm so looking forward to that thing. And I'm as excited about it. Well, I think we've both been like biting our nails.
I wanted to go for years, and now we get to go.
We get to finally go, yeah, and we're gonna be there full force. We're going to be talking to people. We're going to have our whole thing set up there, hanging out. We're going to have a great time. Everybody's going to be there. John Zavis, our buddy John Zavis, is going to be there. Oh, God, I don't even have my list with me, but everyone's going to be. Rick Hayes, we had him on just recently. Rick's
right,
going to be there.
Yeah.
Vince Wilson, who we just met over at the Eastern Regional Paranormal Conference, is going to be there. Troy Taylor's going to be there. We get to bother him again, and I stress the word bother the crap out of him because we love poor Troy. Sorry, man, if you're listening, dude. We're going to be all over you again. Just deal with it, okay? So there's a whole list of wonderful people. Ron's going to be there. What am I thinking? Ron? I just said, did I say Ron's going to be there?
Yeah, we started off with Ron.
Oh, okay. So, well, Ron's going to be there again. He'll be there twice.
Wow.
Because he'll invent a time machine in the future.
See, that's what we call a stupid thing in radio. So you say something stupid like that and you just try it. Well, let's move on. So, no, we got to go hang out with Keith. Keith H. from Louisville Ghost Hunter. And Dale also. Dale was hanging out there, too.
The weekend before that is the
Mothman Festival.
And I have some news.
What's that?
I will be to the Mothman Festival, but I'll end up being late.
Yeah, I know. You have some things with work from we discussed
this.
Yep.
I'll be in Columbia. There's some drug lords causing some problems. I got to go down there, handle that.
Okay.
And once that's all handled, then I can fly up and I'll fly back here to Michigan.
Take the jet and just shoot in there. You're going to come into Michigan and then...
I'll probably just drive a little Ranger, you know.
Okay, cool. All right, so you are going to be there, though. You're going to be a little bit late, no problem. We are going to be going to that. That's the weekend before the Mid-South Paranormal Conference, and we're looking forward to the Mothman Festival just as much. That's going to be our third year. Our third year in a row we're going to be there. So, and we're going to be learning full force again. I think they're going to put us up to speak again, too, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
I don't know what they do this
Everybody, go listen to Pat Bellamy speak.
Yeah.
She's much and then better. Take our hour off.
Yeah,
and,
just go to lunch, do something. We don't want to see anybody there. We just want to be talking to steps.
Pat's, so incredibly, cool and such a great speaker. And then, of course, we go up there and...
Yeah, we
blow
just,
it for the rest of
everybody. Yeah, we just make it, we make everybody else look great.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why we're there. So no, like I said, we met up with Keith. That was totally great. Thanks again, Keith. We really appreciate that. Me and Amber, and we were talking about the Bell Witch Cave that Amber and I checked out. We were able to check out when we were in Tennessee. Amber actually did some recording. There were some strict policies, which I understand too, about videotaping and stuff like that. And think about this. This makes sense too. People go in there and videotape a whole thing, their whole tour, right? And then they put that out to sell to people, which I think is pretty ridiculous. So there was no video recorders allowed. We were actually able to do – I didn't really know the rules, and I was kind of scared to ask, to be honest with you. I think that flash photography was cool, and I believe that, recording audio was cool, too. We found that out kind of like in the middle of the tour. That's why Amber broke out her recorder right away. I was just kind of like, wow, I'm in the Bell Witch Cave. This is really cool, right?
I can't think of anything
else. I don't know. My brain is just stupid right now. So Amber, though, she was thinking, thank goodness. So she broke her recorder up and started doing some recording. And this was, I think this was towards the tail end of the tour, as a matter of fact. It was maybe the last 11 minutes we were there. Now, here's the thing. There have been, and I don't, this could very well be our minds. This could very well be our minds. But there have been stories that in the Bell Witch Cave, you can hear grunts and groaning and screams and stuff like that, right? Now, here's an important thing that even our tour guide showed us. She put us up against one of the walls and said, you have to remember that there's natural springs that go through here. There's springs that go all through this cave and then go down into the river and all that fun stuff. As a matter of fact, a good rainfall where water really builds up, that whole cave can flood right out. Literally blow water through the whole. I mean, if you're in that cave, forget it, you're gone. You're going to get knocked up against the side of the rock walls. You're as good as dead. So, but that's how much water goes through this cave. And she literally put us up next to one of the walls and said, now listen, everybody just be really quiet for a second. And just put your head against this wall. Now, don't put your head against the wall because there's mud. You don't want to get dirty, right? But get really close to the wall and just listen. Just listen for a second and see if you can kind of like hear things, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, you literally put your head against the wall a little bit and you can kind of hear what sounds like, you know, chatter, talking, like maybe a card game or something like that. People just kind of going back and forth and stuff like that. Just having a good conversation, kind of like what we do here on Ghostly Talk. You can kind of hear that. What that is running water. That's running water going through there, and it kind of makes this clattering sound on the rocks and all the echoes and stuff like that. And you have this sound that kind of sounds like people talking. Right. Really interesting at that. Now, as we were doing this tour, though, and I mind you, we all were doing double takes with each other pretty much the whole way through this cave because somebody would be talking, and then you'd hear like just like a kind of like that, okay? Like, you'd hear this. You know, and it didn't sound like it was coming from, like, you know, anybody's mouth or reverberations, because you are in a cave. We have right. to keep this in mind. But you were hearing these, like, sounds kind of here and there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds funny. I know Tom's over here damn near giggling. I know he's falling apart over here. But you hear these, like, you know, kind of grunt sounds, right? And there was one sound that in particular that literally myself and this gentleman I mentioned who was from Louisiana, we heard the sound. We both turned around and, like, looked at each other, like, and we didn't say anything, but there was that look in our eyes, like, what was that? What was this sound? Because it didn't come from the four of us, I know for a fact. Mm-hmm. All right, now, I'm not saying that the Bellwitch, this cave is, you know, this is a haunted cave, but I'm just going by what we experienced there, okay? Right. Now, we were hearing the grunting sounds, kind of. We've heard other sounds in the distance. Mm-hmm. Like yells and stuff like that in the distance. And that could have very well been somebody on the outside, too. Not saying that anybody on the Bellwitch tour staff is trying to manufacture anything.
Right.
But it could very well be that. I mean, any skeptic's going to rip that apart and say that exact statement. Well, there's somebody on the outside yelling in there, and they're just giving you guys the heebie-jeebies. All right, so while we're doing this show, though, tonight, Amber has this recording on her recorder. She's sitting here during, you know, she wanted to mess around with this thing during the show to see if maybe something came up on the recorder.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, during the broadcast, you kind of hear me popping up and down. I've been kind of running back and forth between Terminal A and Terminal B trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here, right? Well, we pulled the first 20 seconds. Well, we pulled 20 seconds out of this recording because we heard something here. Now, I'm not saying this is like, again, like we say here on the show, and Doug backed me up on this. This is not proof of the paranormal. This is just something we noticed that stuck out, and you know, from what we heard, and I thought it might be interesting just to present this. So I kind of loaded it up, and I put it into Audacity so we can kind of like isolate stuff and goof around with it a little bit. What I'm going to do with this piece of audio is I'm going to put this up on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take what we pulled right. This is off the recorder. We've done the only thing we did is we clipped it out. We just clipped it out so, you know, it wouldn't be four days long. This is just 20 seconds of what Amber recorded. And I'll put this up for people to listen to also, okay? So I'm going to play this thing, all right? And then we're gonna kind of go back, if you guys are cool with this, we're going to kind of go back, and I'm going to dissect this a little bit, and we're going to listen to certain parts.
Okay.
Cool? All right, cool. Let me bring this audio up here, and I'm going to play this. We're going to do one run right now, and then we'll kind of go back from we'll just go from there, all right?
Okay.
30 at night, and we usually set them right there in the turn, the parking in the hallway, and we'll come back in the next morning and get them. We've done this a lot of times, we didn't get nothing on there, but there's been a few times that pretty eerie.
Yeah.
One time, it sounded like people were...
Now, this is why I wanted to load this thing up in Audacity, so I could isolate things and kind of mess around with it. Now, this is when this very well may be what I was talking, you know, I was giving you guys the example of, like, the water going through the cave and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to isolate this section right here. And like I said, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this thing, this piece of audio, and I'm going to literally load it up to the site like we do with the archives and just put it there for people to download and mess around with it also. This is a section of this audio.
Yeah.
You guys getting that? Now, I mean, what are you guys hearing? I want feedback on this.
Howling in the background? I don't know.
That's kind of what I heard. Bonnie?
Yeah, it's...
Tom's popping up to the mic here. What do you got? Oh, you're just looking at it? Okay, you want me to play it again? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Howling or crying, you know.
Let's roll it back a little further and just play it. Let's start from like 7 seconds.
And we'll come back down to the next morning and get them. Mm-hmm. We've done this a lot of times. We didn't get nothing on there, but there's been a few times that pretty eerie.
Yeah.
One time it sounded like people were.
Again, like I said, there's that section right there. I'll play that section one more time for you guys. I'm just going to isolate this one little section right here. Here we go again. I'm getting like a howling kind of too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, there's been reported that there's groans and there's been wailing and stuff in this cave. I'm not saying that's what we have, but it's something that kind of stuck out to us.
Hang on one sec.
Yeah.
Amber?
Yeah.
That howling, is it in other areas where there's nobody talking, or did that stand out?
That's all I've listened to.
Okay.
We didn't get through the whole thing.
So
that could very well be it.
I mean, we all just pulled in like hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is just something that stuck out, so I thought I'd throw it there and just talk about it. I mean,
yeah,
see what people thought about
it. I'm wondering if that's an example
of what
it sounds like when you're just recording in a cave or not.
Well, she took an 11-minute sample of this.
Yeah.
So what I'll do, that's a good point, Doug. Thanks for bringing
that
up.
Because there's got to be parts in the conversation where there's lulls in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you're all just standing around.
Well, yeah.
And,
we did a lot of that, trust me.
Wow.
That's what I do a lot.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's how I watch football games. and then, although I enjoy the football game a lot, but the what does it sound like to just record in the cave? Like, is there,
mm-hmm.
is that wind, like for example, if you have a straw, and I blow across the top and go, it makes a noise. Well,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the
natural
mouth
sound of the cave?
Of the cave make when a wind goes.
What's
by.
A natural
I,
sound? You got
right,
it exactly.
I don't know.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Let's play it one more time here.
But it's very howling sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something at the end too.
Well, I think that's people shifting. That sounds more like actual natural movement.
No, what I think it is.
No.
You guys
were standing still.
We were pretty much standing still in this cave at all. I mean, when we stopped moving. That was, what's that, Amber? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. We went up to a plateau.
Okay.
And this was at the very back of the cave, as far back as you can go, where my big butt wouldn't be able to fit through any of the holes back there. You walk up to a plateau and then you stand there. You don't want to move anywhere else because if you move too far, you're going to go off.
Right.
So you just kind of stand there and chill out. Really, we weren't. I mean, I can't say. I'm just saying. I know I wasn't moving. I know I wasn't moving there. And I'm not trying to defend this in any way. I'm just throwing this out there just to see what people think about this. There is something at the end of this, though, too. Let me isolate this even more. There is a reverse thing on here, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think we have a subliminal message on here, Doug. I think Satan spoke to us himself. Let me mess with this. Let me mess with this real quick. I want to see. Ooh, reverse. Ooh, check this out. Absolutely nothing. Okay, let's move on to something. Like I said, it was just something that Amber picked out and said, hey, what do you, hey, this is something that kind of was weird. But you make a great point, though, too, Doug. We should listen to the whole thing, too, and see. It's only 11 minutes long. We can do it tonight. So what I may do, hell, what I might just do is crunch. No, we can crunch this thing down. The original form's on Wave, which is, which I don't know. It shouldn't be too big of a file. Maybe we'll just throw the whole thing up there.
11 minutes would be a while.
Well, no. It's a real low bit rate, though, too. It's high quality, but it's really low bit rate. So we may be able, it shouldn't be too big of a file, as a matter of fact. People suck down these huge archives.
Yeah, but they're MP3.
They're MP3. Yeah, let me take a look at the file sizes, and what I may do is just throw the whole thing up there and let people check that out for themselves, too. Like I said again, this is not, I'm not trying to prove anything here. I'm just more or less throwing this out to people.
But it is interesting. And I guess this is an example of an EVP analysis session now all of a sudden.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're messing around here, and yeah, this is a good thing we're doing here. We're kind of playing around with this thing and seeing what we got. I mean,
actually, this is pretty fortunate.
Why is that?
I wonder if more ghost hunters shouldn't get like a board and some headphones and everybody
and argue about it.
And argue
about it. I mean, because you very well can. I mean, this was just a sample. This was something we pulled out quick just to see, and Amber kind of pointed it out and said,
but
hey, let's check it out.
It is eerie.
Well, we can do that too. Why don't we try that? You guys,
yeah, boost that.
While you're doing that, do you want to put out there now that you know his name? Who made the movie?
Well, you tell him, Bonnie, because I forgot
Rick
already.
White?
Rick White. I wanted to say Kirk White, John White, Bill White, but it's actually Rick White, right?
That
Rick White.
My grandfather's name.
John White?
Bill White.
Bill White. Really?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't.
Let me amplify. Let me bring it. Oh, that's a little. That's really Tom loud. Says. We're going to kill people if we bring it up that loud. Let's bring it up half then, see what happens. All right, I just amplified this. Let's see what happens here. Want to go louder?
Yeah.
This is going to, oh my God. Everybody, plug if you're wearing your headphones, ears. Please plug your ears.
Oh.
There's a howl or something like that in there. I don't know. That's weird. I don't know. Like I said, this may take some more analysis. Let's mess around with that some more. But I thought it was something kind of interesting that Amber picked out. And so, you know, like I said, worst case scenario, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw just this sample, this section up, worst case scenario. I'd like to ideally put the whole thing up there, maybe just crunch it down to MP3 for analysis purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
And if people pick things out, I can refer to the master tape, right?
Right.
And then work from there. So we'll work something out to be continued. It'll be a big surprise for you guys.
We had made a rule last week when we were traveling.
What was that?
Because one of the things that we've noticed is that when we're actually driving to our places, for some reason, we're really, really humorous,
oh,
and we make each other laugh a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had made up the rule last weekend that if you thought you were going to be funny, before you say whatever it is you want to say,
mm-hmm.
you have to pick up my little recorder,
yeah.
turn it on, wait for the light to go on, and then push the button, and then say your funny bit so that you could get the funny part. And the reaction on
which makes our conversation fun,
right? So needless to say, we made this rule, and then we go on the trip, and it turned out we took 0 seconds. For some reason, we laughed the entire way.
Okay,
right? And we were funny, and I don't think we stopped laughing. There might have been a moment, but other than that, we were laughing and cracking jokes and teasing each other and you know, just absolutely being idiots. But we didn't record a single second of it.
Okay.
Not even the Nathan conversations?
Nope, not even the conversations with Nathan.
Not that.
Neither Nathan.
Yeah.
Neither.
From Doug's work.
Yeah, my coworker Nathan or Nathan Unpronounceable. We didn't get either Nathan's conversations. I mean, nothing. It just didn't work.
Yeah.
So we tried it again this time, and for some reason, when you turn the recorder on,
well, you're put on the spot.
You actually turn the recorder on?
Yes, and then of course, for some reason, we started talking about death and disease and cancer. It's idiotic.
Sounds like a good pillow talk to me, man.
So it's like as soon as we turn the recorder on, suddenly we all turned sour. And
well, yeah.
I didn't know you turned it on, actually.
I did.
Well, when you're put on the spot, I think it's different. It's harder for you to, like, really throw a punchline out.
I hate that. I absolutely hated it. Because we're like, okay, now, you know, now I'm recording, so now we can be funny. And instead, we got all serious.
Well, you should have had it on in the car.
Well, I think maybe that's second nature too. When
2:30 in the morning,
right?
Because I was hilarious.
That's second nature though too. When you turn a recorder on for what we do, you do have. I do it. Okay, recording. Shut up. Okay. I'm not gonna sit there and try to. Hey guys, guess what? Two hookers walk into a bar. I'm gonna kill you guys. You're gonna love it. I mean, I can't do that. I mean, there's no way. I mean, that's maybe just the way you feel. That's how we're trained to do this thing. I don't know. I never tried to, like, record myself. So that's what you're trying to do is record yourself when you're being funny, right?
Doug,
it's impossible.
We had discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the car with us. I said what we need to do is record our car trips.
Yeah.
From now on, because we are all taking pot shots at each other the entire trip.
And it would be great for, like, the, you know, what is it, Ghostly Talk Exposed DVD coming out?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, that's going to go along with my book.
The expose,
and the trivia game.
Sounds great. I'm
know
with you guys.
I know my favorite color.
That's going to be in the trivia game.
It's
coming
in the trivia game,
a store near you.
But regardless, like I said, concerning the Bilwich Cave, like I said, I want to go through more of this audio again with Amber, and we're going to post this stuff up on the site. We did hear some weird things, though.
Mm-hmm.
We really did hear some weird things where we were literally kind of like going, and it wasn't because, I really want to say it wasn't because we had the heebie-jeebies, because we were at the historic haunted Bilwich Cave. But, I mean...
Oh, well, that's quite a reason.
Well,
I mean.
I'm trying to...
haunted
yeah.
Bilwich Cave.
Well, yeah, and it's
I feel fine.
it begs to be said like that. I agree, Doug. It begs to be said like that. Like, okay, you know, maybe you do have the heebie-jeebies a bit. You know, you are in the Bilwich Cave. You're waiting for something to happen. We talk about this all the time, though.
Right.
We can create these things in our mind.
In your mind, yep.
Yeah. But we literally, I mean, I went there with as level of a head as I could. I really could. Like, I want to go in here, and if I'm going to experience something, it's going to be something that I really, really, I can come back and say, all right, look, something did happen there. It wasn't life-shattering. It didn't change my life. But something, we did hear something. Because I can say for one thing that Amber, myself, and this gentleman from Louisiana all looked at each other numerous times and said, hey, did you hear that too? You know, did you hear that also?
Interesting.
You know, maybe we all had the heebie-jeebies. Maybe. I don't know what happened there. It was an interesting trip, though. I suggest everybody go to the Bilwich Tour. It's a lot of fun. And I want to talk more about this sometime down the road, too. And I want to get this audio up for you guys to listen to of our little trip. And hopefully, maybe you guys can hear something. We'll try to get it all up there for you guys to listen to. Feedback, ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com. And let us know. I'm going to get that up there for you guys to check out. Hopefully, maybe we might get something out of that. I don't know. We'll see. Let's take a quick break, though. Coming up, we have William Constantine coming up on the show. We're going to talk about all kinds of weird things concerning the afterlife with him. It's going to be a really cool hour. Stay tuned. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.